In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Thrilled to have you.
Hi.
Welcome.
It is just so wonderful, so delightful, so amazing, so enjoyable, so interesting, so exciting, so exhilarating to be with you people now. Do you know why that is?
Because we're amazing.
You are some of the most amazing people in the history of this planet. Do you feel amazing? Do you feel what it feels like to feel amazing? What is that feeling of amazement? It is a feeling of pure connection to Source, to the higher perspective, to what your inner self is thinking, to what you intended prior to your birth, to love, and it happens to be the absence of fear. So in those times that you are just grooving along and you're having fun and you're enjoying your conversations and you're dancing and delighting and free, having freedom and excitement, those are the times when fear is not present. And the opposite is true. In those times when you're in despair, when you're worried about what's coming next, when you're trying to figure it out, when you don't have a plan, when you think that things are stacked against you, when you're facing problems that you think are insurmountable, you are not connected, you're not aligned, you're not going with the flow, you're not thinking about the higher perspective. You're focused in that moment in reality in a way that is not true. And why does that happen? Because you feel like you should know how things are going to work out. And if you think things are working out as you think they should work out, well then, you allow yourself to feel good. You allow yourself to say, things seem to be going along well, and therefore, I don't feel fear. Or, things seem not to be going well, and therefore, I sense some danger, some problem, some issue, something that has to be resolved, something that must be fixed. So you're vacillating between these times when you feel good, no fear, or when you feel bad, full of fear. And this all comes down to a process that we've said many, 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 many times before. It's how you determine what fear is. Is fear a real thing? Is it really happening? Is there anything really going on in this moment in my life? Or am I making it up? And so we put this question to you. When you feel fear, are you stopping and thinking about what you're really feeling? Are you stopping and thinking about what's really happening? Are you realizing in this moment, is there something actually bad happening? Or in this moment, is everything perfect, yet you perceive in the future that things should be different than they are, or that things aren't going to turn out the way you hope they will? So there's a way to deal with this problem. One is to realize that the fear is based on a perception of your reality, which is limited. And that limitation comes from a belief. It comes from something inside you that is a belief that's not true. It's false. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't jive with who you really are. It doesn't conform to the universe and the laws of the universe and the forces of the universe and how physical reality really is. It is something that may have been passed down from generation to generation, something that could have applied in the past but no longer applies in your life, something that you've really never taken a look at. And so to you, it seems real, but it only seems real because you haven't dissected it. You haven't taken the time to look at it. And that is all that this work is. All the work that you ever want to do in your life all comes down to noticing when you feel emotion, whether that's a good emotion or a bad emotion. Understanding that if it's a negative emotion, it's an indication of a limiting belief. Understand that the limiting belief cannot be true. It cannot be true. If the fear you're feeling is irrational, meaning you're not going to be killed in this instant, then that fear is based on limiting belief. And that limiting belief cannot be true. And all you have to do is look at it. And you don't have to dismantle it immediately, but you can dismantle it over time. You can chip away at it, brick by brick, layer by layer, finding evidence that is false, finding proof that it is false, finding proof that the opposite belief is true, choosing to say, from a higher perspective, I can see that this is a false belief. I can see that from my limited perspective, it seemed so true to me. But in reality, it was never true. It was never true the day it was told to me, the day it was given to me by someone else. Because you will find that the vast majority of your limiting beliefs were cast upon you by other people who were facing their own fears. And primarily their fears were around you. And primarily their fears were wanting you to be safe or wanting you to live a certain way so that they could feel good. When you think about those beliefs now in the context of what you know about physical reality and what you know about the laws of the universe, you can say, well, this does not coincide with what I know about who I really am and how this universe works. The law of attraction says that I'm taken care of, that my desires are answered in every moment, that I get back what I put forth. And if I'm putting forth this limiting belief, well then I can only get back a representation of what that limiting belief means to me. If I had not that limiting belief, then my reality could not include the manifestations of that limiting belief. Now, we're not here to say that limiting beliefs are giving you a reality that you don't like. That's not true at all. Reality is just pointing out the limiting beliefs. Because who you have to become a vibrational match to the desires you want, and especially the intentions you set prior to your birth, has to be one that is a match to that in the sense that the beliefs are a match. The beliefs that you will have when your desire manifests, that whole system of beliefs, that whole system of approaching life, of being authentic and real and conscious and aware, and that set of beliefs that you'll have at that time does not coincide with the set of beliefs you have now. And so when the universe says, we will make you into that version that is ready for the desire to manifest into your life, we will help you emit a vibration that coincides with that. The universe is saying, what we're going to do is help you find those limiting beliefs. Now, those limiting beliefs are often found through manifestation events. They're also found through negative or limiting thoughts as well. So if you have a limiting thought, oh, I can't do that, well, you don't have to have a manifestation event to bring up that negative emotion that comes with that limiting thought. You can see that limiting thought is limiting right there. And you can know that limiting thought can only be attracted by a limiting belief. So right then and there, before the need for a manifestation event, you can stop and say, no, I can't do it. That limiting belief is based on something that is not true. I can have this thing I want to have. I can do this thing I want to do. I can be this person I want to be. I can be, have, and do anything in this reality. Which means that if I have the thought that I can't do it, well, that has to be attracted based on a limiting belief that I have. That limiting belief is attracting that thought. That thought is bringing it forth slight negative emotion. It doesn't have to be powerful. It can be slight negative emotion. You can see it right then and there. And right then and there, when you have that thought, you can stop. And you can say, the only way that thought can come to me is from a limiting belief. So let's take a look at what belief could be underlying right there. And let's work to reduce the intensity of that belief. Because you'll never in an attractive universe, you aren't pushing anything away. You're just modifying the intensity. And the intensity of limiting beliefs can be modified so that they are less intense. Now, what does that mean? That means if that limiting belief is so weak and you get this inspiration to do something that will lead you to your desire, well, that limiting belief no longer has the power to stop you. It no longer has the power to attract thoughts of fear that stop you before you take that first step. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that a wonderful system? But if you constantly say that the thought is wrong, or the manifestation event is wrong, or the person who brings forth the manifestation event is wrong, or that things should be different than they are, then all you're trying to do is control the conditions rather than controlling your set of beliefs. Now, since the conditions are completely a reflection of your set of beliefs, in a further sense, in a deeper sense of your vibration, but in a very real, easy to pick apart, easy to dissect, easy to understand way we're talking here, if you can modify those beliefs, you then modify your vibration, you then modify your reality. That's how it works. It doesn't work, you modify your reality, and you hold the same beliefs, and then you expect your vibration to bring something different. So if you keep trying to control things and keep getting the same thing, all you've been doing is playing with the image in the mirror rather than the thing that's projected into the mirror. You're playing with the film on the screen rather than the film in the projector. Does that make sense? Does anyone get what we're saying here? Is this something you all know? Did we bring anything new to this? Is there any part of this that you would like to challenge, or you would like to add to, or you would like to verify with your own experience? Who would like to start? Julie?
I was like on pins and needles, yes. I was like, well, if no one else will. Gosh, okay. I have so many limiting beliefs and fears right now. I'm in the thick of trying to get out of a little bit of drama I'm having with my stepdaughter and her mother. We've all actually, throughout the whole relationship, have been really good, and there's no major feud right now, but I am trying not to judge her. My stepdaughter's mother. I'm trying not to judge her. I'm trying to love her through everything, but there's some things that I don't agree with. So I'm trying to decide if I, which I've been doing lately, even if I find some kind of struggle between it, I just kind of take the backseat and kind of let it blow over. It's not worth it. But it's kind of been one after another, and I'm trying to decide, do I step up and say something? So my fear would be she won't likely. We'll get into drama, conflict. I don't like confrontation. And then when I don't say anything, my fear is being like a doormat or teaching Callie that this is okay to be this way and whatever. So I need to find something to push through these fears and limiting beliefs.
So let's look at the higher perspective. What's the highest perspective you can come to right now?
Just that she chose her mother, and this is what they've chosen together. We're all connected. I would love for a higher
decision prior to your birth.
Yes.
Okay. So the higher perspective would be, and there's no way you can prove it, but imagine if you could look at it from this higher perspective. So the higher perspective is, your stepdaughter came into this experience of reality so that she could explore reality in a way that has never been explored before. Not only for her, but for everyone. There has never been an exploration of reality like the one she is exploring. So she brings in the dynamic of her birth mother, of her stepmother, of her father, of her step-siblings, of being born at this time in history, of being born in the location, of living in the location that she lives in, of many different things. So this childhood now is a play between who you're being as this person who's interested in the laws of the universe. Mm-hmm. Who is understanding things from a higher perspective, who is interested in her exploration, who sees her as perfect, who understands that this is all building towards a trajectory and you can't know what that is, right? Mm-hmm. So these are the higher perspective. Now, her mother is also perfect. You're perfect. Her father's perfect. Her step siblings are perfect. Everyone's perfect. No one has to be different than they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the mother is different than she is, then that's going to change the trajectory of her daughter, of your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So you don't want her to be different than she is, because that would change the trajectory that your stepdaughter chose.
Right.
Nor do you want her to be different, because that would change how you get to work on your own limiting beliefs around this. So she is a gift to you. She is a gift to her daughter. She is part of this whole thing. Now, here you are with an intact marriage, your own children, all the things that you have, and here she is sort of on the outside of this. So it's natural for her to feel fear, and you can see that from the higher perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And that in the times when she says things that you don't appreciate or you don't agree with or you don't like, a lot of times those are her urges to change you and change the situation, only to make herself feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And in times when she reacts, it's because she feels that a sense of danger, because she's trying to figure out her future. And how
right.
is this all going to work out? And she's thinking about her daughter down the line and herself
mm-hmm.
down the line. And how are, you know, and she has a idea in mind that's steady. And when something happens that conflicts with that idea in her mind, because she's trying to control the whole thing, then she feels fear and then she reacts and she receives urges and she doesn't know what the urges are. She thinks that it makes sense to do whatever she does. You also feel fear. And in those times when you feel fear, you receive urges rather than inspiration. And your urge is always to change the conditions. You want to change how she is. You even want to change how you're being. You want to change whatever it is. That's natural. That's all part of the system. That's how the system is designed. Before you do anything, though, look at things from the higher perspective, and then from that, come into alignment, which means get above that emotional horizon line. Feel
mm-hmm.
better. Feel better about her. Feel better about yourself. Feel better about your daughter. Feel better about the whole situation. And then wait for inspiration. And that inspiration will be to enhance the peace and love and ease and compassion and all these things. And then an idea will come. And that idea will be to say something. And that's something you could perceive that as sticking up for yourself or clearing the air or confrontation. But mm-hmm. from a place of love, it's none of those things. It is
right.
It is working with the system as it is, enhancing the environment so that it is more compatible, easygoing, and harmonious. And what you all want is a harmonious relationship so that everyone can get what they want. Now, there's no way she can take advantage of you. There's no way that you can be a doormat. You are self-contained and fully in control of your own reality.
This is true, but why do I feel so bottled up? Like I'm trying not to say
because
anything or react.
Yeah, it's fear. It's fear of what she'll say. It's fear of looking in a way that you don't want to be perceived by her. It's just normal fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when she says something that makes you angry, then that's fear. That she can't say anything to make you angry unless you have a limiting belief about your role in this, right? So
right, okay.
You may see that your role is not equal, which is not true. Your role is equal. Her role is equal. And your stepdaughter's role is equal. Everyone's equal in this. No one's has, because they're the mother or they're the child or they're the stepmother, more or less of a role in this dynamic. When you made this agreement in the non-physical, you did so as equals. In the non-physical, you can be nothing other than equals. Now, here you are, from this perspective, we could say that you know more, right? And that gives you an upper hand, for instance, that you're on a higher level. But that's not true. You're as equal to her, and she's exploring reality in her way, you're exploring reality in your way, and your stepdaughter's exploring reality in her way. So everyone's an equal part of this. It's natural to feel fear, but literally, she cannot kill you, right?
Right.
So yeah. If she can't kill you, you know that the fear is based on a limiting belief. That limiting belief is absolutely false. And this danger that you perceive, whatever's coming to your mind, you can know that's an illusion. That's not real. Right? And so have the fear. That's going to be there all the time. This is a process where she allows you to constantly go through these manifestation events to dig deeper and deeper and deeper into your limiting beliefs. And you will grow from that. You will expand from that in the way that you intended prior to your birth. So this is a very beneficial thing for you. Because in seeing your equality to them and in knowing that you're controlling your reality through how you feel, then you can say, I don't want her to be different than she is. I appreciate the fact she's bringing up these limiting beliefs. I can work on those limiting beliefs and then watch the dynamic change.
Right.
Yeah. So it all changes from that. It all changes from how you choose to perceive it. And if you choose to fight against it and resist it, you'll have one reality. And that one reality will just bring up more and more manifestation events until you get it. And when you get it, you'll say, why am I arguing with her?
Right.
Why am I fighting? I have my opinions, but are my opinions even true? Are my beliefs even that true? Is it important for my beliefs to be placed upon my stepdaughter? Or can I allow her to just to see me as an example of alignment and not worry about what she's seeing? You tend to want to think that you should be a good example. Well, the good example is not the one who resists, it's the one who allows. And in allowing, if you're afraid that she's going to think you're a doormat or think that being a doormat is okay, you're just not understanding the power in allowing, in ease, in not taking things so seriously, in understanding that things are going to work out, in knowing that in a year from now, you're not even going to remember this.
Oh, that's very true.
Right? And in 2 days from now, you're going to feel better anyway, no matter what, whether you think about this or not, whether you work on these limiting beliefs, you're going to feel better anyway, because you reset, you know. So, So things are going to modify, things are going to change, and this is all building for the trajectory of the child, and it's all beneficial for you and for her, for the mother. Now, the mother feels fear, and she wants to control you. That's just a cycle and momentum-building thing that's never going to work for her, right? She's going to have this negative emotion. On your side.
But if I give in all the time, then
you don't have to give
in a way she is controlling.
Right. You don't have to give in. You don't have to comply, right? But you don't have to react either. And what we're saying is take your time to modify how you think about this so that you can think about this from the higher perspective. In that higher perspective, you can come back into alignment. And then we say, meditate, think about it, and receive inspiration for the thing to do next. And that thing to do next may be to say to her, these are new rules. Here's the new rules we're putting down. You know, it may be whatever it is. You don't know what that's going to be. But if you act from this lower emotional state of fear, under that horizon line of feeling good, even if the fear is, oh my God, she's such a pain, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's still fear.
Okay.
When you can get yourself up to that, I understand that she's here for my benefit and that she's here for the benefit of this trajectory that she's building and that we're all expanding as a result of her and that we truly welcome this expansion into our lives and that it's not her. It's a limiting belief, and that I'm going to think about that limiting belief. I'm going to find out what that is, and when I find out what that is, I'm going to get an insight, and that insight is going to lead me to the next thing. And without her, I cannot be the person I want to be. That this part of my growth as as a mother and a wife and a conscious, aware person, is all benefited by her, by this dynamic that we all agreed to beforehand.
Right.
Right. And how you handle this is going to be, and how you grow from this is going to be the thing that really influences your stepdaughter. So she's going to get, much like many of you who are divorced with children, you have one aspect of that parent who lives life by the old approach. And you all are living life by a newer approach. And now the children who chose to come into this environment get to see the dichotomy between the two approaches. So they can say, well, this parent did it this way and got this result, and this parent did it this way and got this result. And now I can see the two results and the two paths, the two approaches, and I can choose for myself. I can understand that this one who is always in fear is, you know, piling on the limiting beliefs. And this one who is in faith is allowing things to flow, knowing that things are going to work out. And this one might have some attributes over here, and this one might have attributes over here, and now I can choose. And now, when she gets to that point in her life where it's time for her to be who she really is, she can reflect on all of this and realize that in that allowing approach, that's where your true powers come through. And she has her own true powers that are hidden from her now, that may be obvious to you, maybe not be obvious to you, but are not obvious to her now. And as she gets a little older, a little more expanded, a little more into this, a little more comfortable with who she is, a little more idea or belief that who she is perfect as she is. Now, who's that going to come from? It's more likely to come from you. And when you understand that you're perfect as you are, and when you understand that one person is able to give you unconditional love, and the other person is trying to control you so that they can feel better, it's an amazing start to life that very few people have access to. So you be the allowing one, let her be the controlling one, and let this dynamic unfold as it will without worrying about it, because she's not going to have this negative impact that you think she is, and you're also not going to really have the positive impact that you think you are. It all builds together for what was intended before, and things will unfold, and many things will unfold, and all kinds of things will unfold, and all things, interesting things will happen. But if you can help her take this position, help your stepdaughter take this position of nothing is wrong. It's not wrong how your mom handles it. It's not wrong how I handle it. It's not wrong how this is all working out. This is all perfect as it is, and you'll get to see. Just watch. Just see how this works out. Just sit for this a while. Don't fret. Just see how this is going to work out, because it's going to work out. You'll see. And when they can take this stance of curiosity rather than the stance of, you know, victimhood, well, that just little difference is an amazing way for a kid to grow up. Because kids really don't have any control.
I know.
But if they tend to worry when they're younger, it just leads to this momentum that they'll figure it out on their own somewhere down the road. But it's interesting to see that they came into this reality with you as one example and the mother as another example.
Right. Go. Well, I really like that. My next question was going to be, when she sits down with me and she's upset that her mother's manipulative or controlling or she's doing this, that I've in the past just kind of listened to her and not really said anything. And I was wondering, am I doing her a disservice by pretending like all that's okay and everything's fine when maybe it's okay for her to be angry. It's okay to feel like those emotions are right. But then we go back to, she's still not wrong. So I really can't say she is wrong. Like the mom,
yes.
I just have to be a person of support and just like listen to her vent and just tell her everything's going to be okay. And that kind of thing.
Yes. Because if you can take that stance that nothing is wrong, she can understand by exposure to you over time that yes, things aren't wrong. And you can say, yes, parents often like to manipulate their children or often like to control things because parents feel fear.
Okay, that's a good way of saying
it. Feeling too is fear also. You're feeling fear that somehow your life is going to be impacted because she is controlling you or trying to control you. But you know she can never control you, right? Because you can think any thought you want. And you can think a happy thought no matter what she says, or you can think a sad thought no matter what she says. But she can't control your thoughts, so she can never control you. You are free to think any thought you want. And that's where your freedom lives. So think nice thoughts about her.
And
give her a little credit, or give her a little space, or give her a little understanding that she's going through things too. So mommies get scared. Children don't know that mommies get scared. Children think mommies and daddies are rocks.
Right.
And it's not wrong for them to know. No.
Love it. Thanks for taking all that time to explain it. It really helped.
Excellent. Good. Is there anything else?
That's the only thing that's been kind of like heavy here in the last 3 weeks. Everything else is wonderful.
Good.
Life couldn't be any better.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Who's next?
Going off of what you were just talking about with kids not knowing that moms get scared, that's something that I've shared more and more with my children is that I'm figuring this out too. And I've seen a look of surprise on my son's face. And what I question in that is, I mean, you know, there's all this research, like studies show kids need consistency, you know. So how do we do that? That's what I'm figuring out now, I guess.
Do you know any two parents in the world that are consistent?
No.
It's never happened. It's impossible. Nobody's consistent. You're never consistent. No human's ever consistent. They can't have consistency. What they can have is authenticity. And so what is authenticity? Authenticity is allowing them to see who you really are. Where control is manipulating who you want them to see. So if you want them to see someone who's never scared, then you can't be authentic. You have to be living the old approach to life. You have to want them to see someone that does not exist.
Part of my, I mean, yeah, that makes sense to me. And so, and I see the benefits of it, you know, and sort of.
So what would be the downside of letting them see or letting them know that you feel fear from time to time?
Then they feel fear.
Then they feel fear, right? So you just don't want them to feel fear. If you don't want them to feel fear, well, then that you're trying to control them. And you're trying to control their perception of you and their perception of the world and all these things. Now, we aren't saying overtly cause them to feel fear. But when they understand what fear is, how fear works, what it really is, which all it is the indication that you have a limiting belief, right? So that if a child feels fear, and you can allow them to understand that fear is an emotion, that any negative emotion really is fear, that if they're feeling any negative emotion, it's based in some fear. So let's look at the fear. And is this fear something they really have to worry about? Imagine doing that with children, creating this momentum that you don't have to control anything that they can't control anyway. So what they tend to do is control their behavior, their grades, their interests, so that they can get your approval or your love, in other words, right? They'll do things to manipulate your love because that's the only control they have, rather than addressing how they feel, that they feel fear that they're not getting enough attention or they're not doing the right thing or that they don't know what's going to happen. If you were in a situation where you had no control, you would be concerned about what's happening. Or if you knew that what you controlled was your thoughts, Well, then you could start working in your thoughts. That's all we're doing here, talking to you about, is that you do not control the conditions, you control your thoughts, or you have the ability to control thoughts, control your beliefs, control what you think about, think about things more. Now, imagine if you were taught this as a child, that you could slow your thoughts, you could alter your thoughts, you could change your thoughts, you could delve deeper into your thoughts, that your emotions were an indication of what you were thinking, of what you were feeling, of what you were emitting as a vibration, of what you were creating, of how you were creating. And instead of wanting mommy to be different than she is, you say, well, why don't you think about why you want mommy to be different, or daddy to be different, or whatever to be different. And the reason you want things to be different is because you're feeling a little fear. And that's okay. That's part of this game of life. But let's take a look at the fear rather than trying to change mommy and daddy or the conditions. And why couldn't you do that with children?
I like that you're always suggesting we talk to them like adults, like real conversation. Just to chime in real quick, I remember I was trying to figure out preschools and stuff, and you're like, why don't you ask him? I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking he's three. What does he know? But we actually did let him choose, and that's what we're rolling with. So here we go. And I think he'll be okay, by the way. I just wanted everyone to know that, like, we're going with this method. Like, we're trying our best. Let him be, make their decisions. I'm fighting everything in my skin that my 3.5-year-old wants to play Wii, like, all day. And, of course, the old way of me is saying people are going to judge me. He's just going to be into video games. He's not going to have any aspirations in life. His brain is melting. His eyes are going cross-eyed, whatever you want to think about. And I just know people are like, wow, you just let him play Wii all day. But, like, I'm, like, thinking in my head, no, he plays, like, bowling on Wii and, like, archery. And, like, that shit's hard. And for a 3.5-year-old dude, I'm like, this is going somewhere. Like, I don't know. Sorry, I chimed in on top of you, Kyla. But I just want to let you know that I'm trying this. I really am trying to go with this new approach to life, and it's like, here we go. I'm like waiting to see how it all turns out. It's kind of exciting.
Yes, from your perspective, it looks like playing video games all day is a waste of time or not productive or whatever, but that's based on your perspective growing up when you did, learning about things, all the limiting beliefs that you have, all those things that being judged about that, all the things that you hear, all that stuff. But he is at a different vibration, and he is vibrationally aligned to certain interests, right? And rather than saying these interests are good and these ones are bad, why not let him explore? Because in that exploration that he came here for, he will truly discover whatever he needs to discover when he needs to discover it. And when he needs to learn how to read or to interact with others, for whatever reason that's in his exploration, specific to him, he will learn those things quickly, very quickly. But if he thinks, well, mommy says I should go out and play with the neighbor, he will do it, but he won't have the same satisfaction. He'll have a little bit of fear around it. He will have something, you know, now I have to be a certain way in order to get this love. All these things that aren't really beneficial. Now, they're not beneficial. They're not unhelpful. You can't do anything wrong. But the ease of going with the flow and working on what you're thinking, you know, the urges to change conditions that you're receiving instead of actually changing the conditions as much as humanly possible, well, you're going to start to see things develop in ways that other parents haven't, because other parents aren't doing what you're doing. How do you know this isn't the best result? Because nobody else has done this, right? Nobody else right. is out there that you know is doing this. So they're saying it's wrong, but how do you know? They have no experience whatsoever. Their beliefs are beliefs based on nothing. You're actually doing it. Now, it may all turn out horribly wrong, and later we'll say sorry. Mm-hmm. But we disagree. We don't think that's true. We're just kidding. Yeah. We will tell you, if you can allow people to go with their interests, even though you don't understand those interests,
right.
you're going to do far more benefit for them than you could ever do by telling them what to do, because you think you know better than they do, just because you've been on this rock longer than they have. Mm-hmm. They come in at a higher vibration. They're ready for what's happening now. You came in a vibration that was happening so many years ago, and you were ready for what was happening then. This is a different, this is why there's a generation gap. Because you are so focused on them doing well, because it makes you feel good if they do well, it makes you feel bad if they don't do well. And so instead of manipulating how they're doing, just try and work on how you're feeling.
Right.
Excellent. Kyla, did you want to continue?
I was Kyla's going to say, so you don't really let your children see that you're fearful, or what were you saying with that?
That I do, that I show them that I am, but then I wonder. Yeah.
Right, okay.
If I'm, I don't know.
Like looking unstable or something like that?
Yeah, or if I, yeah, if I should be presenting a more, I don't know, guess, together approach in terms of, or like inspiring more confidence in them. But what I'm seeing happen is that they, like I said, we are figuring it out together, and they get to arrive at their own conclusions on things. And we talk out these ideas, you know, when there's something that I don't know, or I'm feeling fear about something specific, rather than just pretending like I know the answer and telling them how it is. I'll tell them about the fear that I'm feeling, ask them what they think, and we process through it. And it is incredible. Like when I talk to them that way, how they respond to me, you know, when I talk to them as if they are human beings that are fully capable of understanding complex ideas, what do you know? They understand it and they respond with, you know, sometimes more fully formed thoughts than others. But I guess, I don't know.
I like how you guys were saying, like, if we put them as equals, like they're not, you know, necessarily like these children that we're trying to, you know, like, help them out through things. If you can kind of put them like you were saying, discussing it with them as equals. And so what if they see that you're vulnerable or you're feeling fear or whatever, like they'll probably pick up the strength and like equal that, help balance that all out.
Yeah. You know, Kyla, I unknowingly did this a lot with my sons because I felt so repressed as a child, and I've never felt like I had a voice. And so I would always say, like, if I was upset, I'm upset. This has nothing to do with you or whatever. I would always try to explain the situation to them, and same thing, allow them to make their own decisions. And they were always very independent little guys, and they understood beyond their years, like you say with your boys, Kyle, Tyler. They understand beyond their years because you're approaching them in that respect versus I'm big, you're small. I'm smart, you're dumb. You know what I mean? It's like you're bringing them. It's a joint co-creation. It's co-creation at its best.
That's what I saw as I was growing up, was that all of these answers were given to me as if they were definite, as if they were absolute, and then I reached this point where none of these answers appeared to be true anymore, and it just totally turned everything upside down for me because I hadn't ever learned to go within for my answers or to analyze whether or not it was actually true. It was just because these people in positions of authority told me this was the way, and so I believe it was the way.
And so here all of you are dealing with these limiting beliefs that were imposed in childhood, and you accepted because you took your parents' word to be gospel. Mm-hmm. Because they never shared with you that they didn't know what was happening either.
Right.
Yeah. And had they shared with you that they didn't know what was happening, then you could have said, well, I don't have to accept everything. I can look at everything. I can go within for my answers. I can go research this. I can go have actual physical personal experiences and not take everything as the truth. Because the truth as it applies to one person is not the truth as it applies to all. You're all unique, and what is true for you could be completely different than what is true for another.
Right, and the school systems do not recognize that. The school systems don't recognize that. So good for you,
because
Julie, for
system.
Letting him pick.
It would be impossible to run it as it should be run. It has to completely break down and start from something completely different than it is right now. Because there's so much fear around it. And everyone is ingrained with the ideas that were passed down from one generation to another generation, or how they were taught in school. You see, teachers are taught all the same. And so all teachers the vast majority of teachers, have all the same limiting beliefs. And they reinforce those limiting beliefs to the students and to the new teachers. All doctors have the same limiting beliefs. All lawyers have the same limiting beliefs because they're all taught in the same system. There's the outliers are the ones who come up with a unique thought. And those people, brave people, who are able to reach within and pull from higher vibrational levels of intelligence to bring new inventions, new ideas, new thoughts, often go through a period of ridicule before they're accepted. And that's due to fear. So all of this comes back to processing fear. You process your fear when relating to anyone else, when receiving criticism, when worrying about what's going to happen in the future, when dealing with other people, and especially with your children. You're always processing this fear. And you can succumb to the fear and do what your parents did to you to your children, or do what your parents did to your to each other, to your mate, or you can start fresh. And you say, I am giving up all the cliche beliefs that were forced upon me or that I adopted, and I'm going to start looking within and seeing what is true for me. And if you go with what is true for you, regardless of the fear that causes around others, you are always going to end up in a better place. It will always be beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. All right. Who else would like to talk? Nikki, are you there?
I am.
What would you like to say, Nikki?
I really enjoyed Julie's discussion with you. I thought it was really helpful. This idea that these people that are in our lives that we think if they were different, we'd be better or we'd feel better, are actually serving to help us to expand and discover who we are. And so, I really enjoyed that. And
I right there, real quick. So you have a desire. In order to become a match to that desire, you have to be changed.
Yes.
If you could say to these people, I wish you were different than you are, and boom, they were different than they are, well, then you couldn't match the desire that you're asking for. So what would happen would be that if you could control the conditions, you would just control conditions, control conditions, control conditions, and never expand. Because what your desire is to be a different version of you. But if you could change the conditions, you would never be a different version of you. You would be the same version of you who is, shall we say, childishly trying to control the conditions in order to feel good.
Yes.
Okay. So let's proceed.
Okay. So, you know what? Just for today, in this present moment, the conditions are perfect. I'm perfect. Everybody's
perfect. Isn't
that
interesting how in the present moment, everything's perfect?
Yeah, that's really amazing.
Always.
Yeah. I'm really feel
bamboo shoots up your fingernails. Or there's a lightning.
Yeah. Yeah, everything's really, really, you know, none of the conditions have changed. I mean, from when we spoke last week, nothing on the outside has changed, but I have shifted. And I'm seeing everything as right, and I'm feeling pretty free.
Because what you're doing is you're no longer resisting the expansion from who you are now to who you will be when your desires unfold. You're saying, okay, last week I thought things weren't working out to get me to where I want to go. Because this person's being like this and that person's being like that and things are being like this. This week what I'm saying is, yeah, this is all part of that alteration of my reality. So they're being actually perfect, because if they weren't being like this, then it would mean that I'm not actually moving towards where I want to go.
Yeah.
Right.
And this feels really empowering, I have to say. This is really, I feel like I've had sort of a breakthrough in a way, because I just kind of feel neutral about all of this stuff, and I'm in wonder about what the universe is going to bring me. And
in
I have a
moment,
true desire.
Yes. In the moment, you can say, isn't that interesting that I
Yeah.
Didn't get this phone call, or did get this phone call, or this worked out, or this didn't work out. Isn't that interesting? It's not a good thing, it's not a bad thing, but I can see that it's part of this journey. And I wonder what that impact will have later on when I look back at this and go, oh my God, if that person was different than they were, then this would have never happened because I would have done this and this and that. Right? If this person was different than was, if this boss of mine was different than he was, well, I probably would have stayed here in this job forever and ever and ever. But because he was such a jerk, you know, it made me, you know, reach for this other desire that I had, right? This contrast of this one situation made me reach for another desire and launched me over in this direction. Now I can see how this all unfolded to be perfect. Because
But we really can't call him a jerk.
No,
he's perfect.
He is.
And you know what's really cool about this whole thing is when I released the resistance around this particular situation and saw it as perfect, the obsession of wanting to control it and observe it and notice it really just faded away. And that feels really free.
The version of you who is a master of what you want can't have that obsession anymore.
No.
Because if you get what you want and still have that obsession, well, you haven't gone anywhere. You're still in this exact same condition.
Right.
And you won't be able to get what you want. You'll just get another version of what you have. You can't have that obsession. You can't have that overwhelming desire to change the conditions. You can't have that longing for things to be different than they are. You have to be, in order for you to get what you want, you have to be different than you are now. And the version of you who will be ready for what you want is the one who goes with the flow and is saying, in this moment, that person's being right. This situation is right. I don't have to control this.
And another thing is, as you know, we've talked about, one of my explorations is this idea of longing. And for up until now, I've always looked at it like, well, I want to hurry up and like explore this as much as possible and get it out of the way so that then get to the things I really want to do. And then I realized, wait a minute, if I'm here as part of my exploration is to long, well, then why don't I just welcome it and say, bring it on, you know? And so I've just accepted that this will come from time to time, and I'll feel this idea that someone loves me less than they should or something like that, and I can go back to this place where I feel unworthy, and then I can say, oh, here it is again. You know, I can play around with it and look at it differently instead of seeing it as wrong. And that's very interesting for me because I didn't think like that before. Before I thought, oh, I want to hurry up and, you know, get an A on the longing exploration so that I can go on to other explorations.
Right.
So that also feels really freeing.
Yes, because if you accept the fact that you're here to explore this idea of longing, well, certainly you can explore anything else. But if you haven't explored longing, you're going to find that you're going to be exploring it in other nuanced ways.
Mm-hmm.
And you can welcome that when it comes, because when it comes, it's too late anyway, right? Because it's already here. But now you can see it from another perspective, and you can say, this is different from this perspective, because now I see it as this, when I used to see it as that. Isn't that interesting? And now I have I have understanding that longing is just a reaction to what I think is going wrong. And a desire for things to be different than they are. Well, what if things are perfect as they are? Well, now I can understand this idea of longing in the context that things are perfect and good things are coming and everything I want is coming, and that I'm still having this little worthiness wobble that I can resolve and work on and work on and work on and work on. And then, isn't it interesting that the longing isn't as intense as it once was?
Right. And also, it's the vehicle through which I process fear.
One of them, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Absolutely.
So, thank you. I'm feeling better.
Good. Very good.
So, this is Allison, and all of this is just making lots of sense, and I can apply it to lots of things. And then there's this thing called stubbornness that comes up in me.
Resistance.
Resistance. So, I'm trying to convince Rick that I don't want to participate anymore in a club that we're very active in. He's president, I'm secretary, and I'm tired of it. And I want to leave it. I want to change the condition. And it's become a little bit of a battle. And then I say, well, I'm changing conditions. The changing the conditions is exactly what I want. And I'm going to stand for myself that I don't need to be in the club anymore. He can go, he can have fun, he can be involved, but I don't need it anymore. Don't want it anymore.
What do you want? Not what don't you want, what do you want?
More freedom to be me, to do what I want to do instead of
always
having...
Why can't you be
having...
you in the club?
Because I'm going to activities that I have no interest in, and I don't want to go.
And why don't you have interest in them?
They're boring. I'm not interested in it anymore. And it's out of my realm.
Okay. And we will agree with you that certainly there are things that you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, if you are running away from something,
mm-hmm.
it's due to a fear. And if you address that fear rather than changing the conditions, then you'll end up in a better place than you were before. You see, if you keep running away from this fear, rather than being called to something that excites you,
mm-hmm.
and if you were to tell us, I can't be in this club anymore because I have this passion for skydiving now and taking all my time, then we would say, that makes perfect sense to us. But if you're saying, I need to quit this so that I have freedom to do, I don't know what's coming down the road, we say, well, then you're just making that as an excuse.
Mm.
And we say, get to this place of love with that group, of total ease. Figure out a way to feel good doing the things that you think are boring. And then from that, more often time of being in alignment, of feeling good, of being above the emotional horizon line, you will receive mm-hmm. inspiration to either figure out a way to make it exciting, to actually enjoy it, or to be called to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And you tend to want to change conditions because you think that the new conditions will be different than the old conditions. But if you are bored in the old conditions, you're going to be bored in the new conditions. You're going to be even more bored.
Right.
And mm-hmm. now you start fighting with Rick and fighting with this idea of the club and fighting with mm-hmm. all that stuff. We say, take the time right now while you have it to mm-hmm. launch yourself fully into this club and to imagine you've turned your back on the club. Well, turn around mm-hmm. and embrace it and to see how much you can love it and to look for all the positive aspects of it and to do the things mm-hmm. that are the most exciting of the boring things that you do and mm-hmm. to make those boring things to play a game and find a way how to make those boring things not so boring anymore. And from this position of, wow, I really turned this around and I really am getting into this and I'm really having more fun with this than I thought and I'm really feeling good about myself. And if I can get into enjoying this, then I can get into enjoying anything. So let's see what comes now. And then you'll get a phone mm-hmm. call or you'll watch something on YouTube or you'll mm-hmm. see something online, or someone will send you an email, or someone will tell you about something, and you'll say, okay, guys, well, I had great fun in this club, now I'm going to go into bullfighting.
Right.
Or talking to animals.
Right.
Or something that floats mm-hmm. your boat. But you can't get to the exciting thing that you want by hating the thing that you're doing now. You get to the
right.
exciting thing that you want by fully investing yourself in the thing that you're doing now, so that it's not the thing. You see, the thing doesn't matter at all. The club doesn't matter at all. It's the approach to the club that matters. It's your approach to life that matters. It's
yeah, I can feel that. Mm-hmm.
That I can be my authentic self in any situation. And this mm-hmm. is the only situation that's here now. Right? And until this new situation comes, I'm going to practice being authentic and practice being love. And practice being in alignment. And I'm going to be in alignment around everyone. And they're going to be sick of me because I'm so into alignment all the time. And I'm not going to talk about the gossipy, crappy things that they like to talk about. I'm going to be talking about empowering things that make sense to me. And pretty soon, with that attitude, you'll be so much fun to be around that they'll kick you out of that club because you're too much fun to be around. And the thing that you really want will fall into your lap.
Cool. That's perfect. Thank you. So,
very good. Who's next? We're not going to call on anyone. You're going to have to jump forward. You're going to have to jump through this computer into the non-physical and say something. All right.
I'll go.
Excellent.
It's Genevieve.
Hi, Genevieve.
Hi, Joshua. I want to go back to a question that I wrote to you a few months ago about in the morning, but when I wake up, you know, trying to maintain alignment as much as possible, but still waking up in the morning with just this feeling of panic and fear and like, and so it makes it hard maintaining alignment when underneath that are these intense body feelings. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. We totally understand what you're saying. But we want you to look at how reality is set up. Reality is set up as an exploration. This is an amusement park. This is a game. This is for fun. There's nothing serious happening here. The idea that something serious is happening here is part of your trajectory. The intensity of your childhood launched you on this trajectory. The intensity of the past 10 years is part of this trajectory. Here you are now. Without that trajectory, you would never have found this information, these people, these teachings. So, literally, there is nowhere else you want to be. This is where you want to be. You have made it to this point. Now, in this moment right now, is there anything wrong?
No.
Where are you right now?
I'm with Kyla.
How did you get to Kyla's?
On a plane.
How did you get the money to pay for the plane?
I know somebody who works for Southwest, and so I exchanged pet sitting for a ticket.
Excellent. So everything worked out to bring you where you are right now.
Yes.
Are you going to die today?
I don't know.
Do you think you will? Is there anything pressing? Like, is there a line in the living room?
No.
Is there armed maniacs at the door?
I don't think so.
So the odds are you're going to make it through the day.
Yes.
So actually, in this moment right now, in this bubble of an environment right now, there's nothing wrong. Okay, great. For this one moment in your life, there's nothing wrong. There is nothing bad happening to you. You're not going to die. Everything's right now. You're with a friend. You're in a new environment. You're having fun. You're talking to us. You're with all these lovely people. Actually, everything's great. Everything is great in this moment. Okay. Nothing is ever happening that's not happening in this moment. Everything is happening in this moment. So you're creating your future moments based on how you perceive this moment to be. If you can perceive just this moment to be nice, then you build momentum towards nice. If you can see that this moment is interesting, that you're co-creating with your other one-on-one students, that you're talking about things that are interesting to you, that you're coming to learn more about the universe today than you knew yesterday, that you're raising your vibration in every moment because you're coming to feel more confident, more expanded, more empowered. You're learning bit by bit by bit to control your thoughts and feelings rather than control the conditions. You've lived this long without dying, so every moment that you've lived has worked out. Now, you may say that moment 412 wasn't so good, but that's, but that's not true. Because moment 412 was part of those moments that brought you to where you are right now. And you can say that, okay, in the future there's going to be some moment that I'm not going to like. We will tell you for 100% absolute fact that if you don't like a moment in the future, it's because you're choosing not to like it. Because you think that it's not helping you get where you want to get. So, you have strong desire. That's awesome. You had intentions set before you were born. You're living those intentions right now. That's awesome. If you want to live a nice, easy, calm, relaxed, healthy, free, abundant, enjoyable life, keep doing what you're doing. Because you've done everything right up to this point. Okay. You've made perfect decisions up to this point, even though you can look back and say that that wasn't good and that wasn't good. Those are all judgments made based on resentments and regrets that don't make any sense because the alternate reality, you have no idea what that would have been like. You're just assuming it would have been better. Right? So there's no use to looking at any doubt, any regret, any resentment of anything that ever happened in the past because the past literally does not exist. It's built up a little bit of momentum, and it's created this trajectory that you're on, but you're living that trajectory, and you're doing everything right. There's nothing else you have to do other than live the trajectory that you're living right now, and you're doing it perfectly. And you are an inspiration to all these people here, and you are going with the flow, and you are bebopping around. And if you choose to decide that, you know, ominous things could happen in the future, well, you have to understand that that's fear. And you can have that fear, and you're entitled to that fear. And what you've been through is makes sense. Anyone would say that you'd have that fear, and they would have that fear if they were you. But you're going to get to a place, maybe you're 80 years old, and you're not going to have that fear anymore. You're going to get to a place, maybe you're 50 years old, and you're going to feel much more confident about yourself than you do now. But that's a choice in 50, and it's a choice in 80, and it's a choice in whatever age you are right now. We're guessing 22. We have no idea. So you choose what you want to feel, and if you choose to feel anxiety about the future, that's a perfectly valid and acceptable choice, and nobody would want to take that away from you. But it is a choice. So know that it's always a choice, and just know that you're looking at your life from a limited perspective, and you're just not used to thinking about how wonderful you are, how wonderful your life is, how wonderful your life has been, how exciting this journey is, how exciting this journey is going to be, even more exciting for you to come, all the amazing, wonderful things you're doing, all the people you're meeting, all the growth that you're having. It's a simple, common point of focus. And you're choosing to look at the negative aspects or the dark side or the downside rather than the upside and the benefit and the reality, the true reality of what you're living in this moment. And when we hang up, you're going to live another moment, and that another moment is going to be great. And you're going to live another moment, and that moment's going to be good. And the next moment's going to be good, and the next moment's going to be good. And they're going to be good, 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 good all the way. And if you ever encounter a moment that isn't anything but stellar, well, then awesome. You just identified a limiting belief, and now you can look at that, right?
Awesome.
So from this perspective, all moments are good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't know what's coming. You can't even imagine what's coming. So have a little faith. It's all worked out so far. It'll continue to work out.
Yeah.
Yep. You'll be led. And know that, okay, there's a benefit to getting into that higher emotional state of being. And that benefit is, that benefit of this confidence, even if you're faking it, this ease, even if you're faking it, is that you're going to receive ideas. Mm-hmm. And some of those ideas you'll be too afraid to try. But some of them you won't be. Some of them you'll do. Right. You had a chance to get a ticket to go see Kyla. There was a little fear involved in that. There's a little fear involved in anything that comes your way, but you did it anyway. And so far, Kyla hasn't stuck any bamboo shoots up your fingernails.
That's later.
That's later, right. So it's just a choice. And the choice can seem hard for some and can seem easy for others. But it's the same choice. And you have absolute 100% control over that choice. And if you ever get to a place where you don't have control of that choice, send us a question and we'll be happy to answer it. So you always have that. Think, meditate, and ask inside yourself and see what the answer is. You always have that. You have your millions of guides and supporters. They will always lead you to where you want to go, to where you intend to go, to your highest good. Maybe not to where you think you're going to go. Maybe not to where you think you want to go, but to where you truly want to be. And your true desires are laid forth in those intentions you set prior to your birth. Happiness, alignment, joy, freedom, abundance, love. If you have those things, then you'll need nothing else. If you're trying to find your worthiness in this world, well, stop looking, because it's contained within. It's never out there. If you're counting on others to make you feel good, it's a hard way to do it. It's all inside. Your everything you need is within. You're completely self-contained. Especially you.
Okay.
What else would you like to talk about?
Okay, the sub question to that is, it's going to go back to money. And I've been thinking lately about just continuing to work on releasing all of my fears about money, but it comes down to the littlest amount of money that I fear. I saw an event in Austin by Deepak Chopra coming up, and it's $40. And I immediately go to, it's $40, but I would like to go.
Why would you like to go?
Because the conversation's going to be about the new era and consciousness.
Okay, so you think there's something new coming?
Yeah, something different, not new.
Well, something new is coming, but do you think that being on board with the new thing before everyone else gets to the new thing is going to make anything different?
No, I'm just really interested in all possibilities of inspiration.
So could you go on YouTube and watch a video?
Yes.
So what is the thing that makes you want to go to this event rather than go to YouTube?
It's a little bit of it's a few things. It's releasing my attachment to the price. It's also, I want to see him in person. That would be really neat. It's the attitude of just doing whatever I'm inspired to do. But then there's also still some of that reaching for things outside of myself. Well, this is a person who has been doing this longer and is advanced, and
right.
The idea
so
that we can learn
what, things. That's what we're saying. We're saying is that you're the interest in going there is fueled from the belief that you aren't 1,000 times more powerful than Deepak Chopra.
No.
Do you see that? So compared to Deepak Chopra, you are a master's master, and he is a student.
Okay.
So you are putting him on a pedestal where you are absolutely equal to him. So go inside.
Okay.
Let that idea be, okay, here's another example of where I'm reaching for something in order to make myself better, in order to validate myself, in order to find that nugget that's going to make everything right.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of saying, no, everything's within. All right. I have this desire. I don't have the money. What's the answer that comes from within? Do you free write?
Not yet.
Okay.
I've done it a couple of times, but it's definitely what I am going to do.
So there's no coincidence that you're here with Kyla this week. If you spend just a little time, maybe after this conversation, and you meditate, let Kyla do a meditation for you. And then take out a pen and paper, Kyla and you, Kyla with one, you with one, Kyla writes, you write, and see what happens with her in that safe space that she can create for you. Kyla, what do you think about that idea?
I'm down. Sounds fun.
Yeah. You're going to get to the point, Genevieve, where you're going to be able to do all this yourself. That all of this is within you, bubbling up, bubbling up, bubbling up, bubbling up. And pretty soon it's going to burst. And you're going to go through manifestation event after manifestation event, worry after worry, until you start bringing it forth from within. Now, we don't know about Deepak Chopra seminars, but we know that if you start to do this yourself, that's going to be very exciting. And that's the seminar we want to go to.
Hey, this is Nikki. I just want you to know I did see Deepak in Paris, and I was really bored. It was all scientific, and I didn't like it at all. So there's my 2 cents.
Okay.
Yeah. You will find that going more general will be not as exciting for you. You will find that all of you will find this, bringing forth your own conversations with your own inner selves onto pen and paper or computer or speaking into a phone or however you want to do it. You all have access to it. You can all do it. Some may resist it more than others. Some may believe it more than others, but it's all within you. And once you get started, it'll start to flow and you'll see it. It'll be obvious. And then, Genevieve, you can hand over what you've written to Kyla. Kyla can hand over what she's written to you. You will understand that Kyla's writings come from her inner self, and that she will validate to you that your writings come from your inner self.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you started to suggest that idea that we'll follow through on, I was like, well, what do I write about?
You don't know. You don't know. You just start with the first thought that comes to mind, write that down, and let it flow from there. And you may not even understand what you're writing until after you've written it and then look back at it.
Wow.
When Gary sits down to answer one of your questions or even to bring us forth in this conversation, he has no idea what's going to be said. And, of course, that brings forth a little trepidation because he doesn't want to disappoint you. He doesn't want to disappoint the 6 million people who will be listening to this at one point. He has a little stage fright. And so he meditates first. He does a lot of Joshua things. He doesn't do any business during that day. He focuses it all on this. And he sets this environment where he makes him feel more comfortable. And then he just brings us forth by saying affirmations to himself. And when he feels the feeling of laughing, that's when he knows that we've come. But before each episode of this podcast or this conversation, there's always a little bit of trepidation. That is just remnants of limiting beliefs. And with each time this is done, in each different environment, he gains more confidence, and that intensity of that fear diminishes each and every time. Until one day, it'll not be a thing. It'll just be, okay, boom, here we are. Boom, here we are. In writing, that's how it is. After thousands of questions, he just copies the question down, puts it into the word processor, and starts typing the answer. And never has it not come. Never once. It's always come. It's always there. Never will it not come for you. It will always be there. Never do you open your eyes and don't see. Never do you smell an aroma and don't smell it. Never do you not hear something. It is always there. It isn't a special gift. It is a natural ability that all of you can do, if you want. All of you can practice it. All of you will have fear about it. All of you will worry what other people think because you think it's strange. But all of you can do it. And as you do it, you'll see how easy it is. How simple it is, how natural it is.
I've recognized that. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say I've recognized that flow in me has been squeezed off, like it's been cut off for a long time because I've been in my analytical, protective brain that does everything in order and systematic and the creative aspect inside of me is, it doesn't feel natural.
When you do yoga, are you worried that you won't be able to do yoga? When you do henna art, are you worried that you won't be able to do henna art? It always comes through.
Yeah.
You never have blockages. you've come to a place where you believe that you can do it. And often practice is the way you get there.
Yeah.
And this is no different. You just practice and practice and practice and practice. And it gets easier and easier and easier. But what you'll find is how amazingly easy it is. You receive a thought, you write it down. You receive a thought, you write it down. You receive a thought, you write it down. You don't judge it. You understand that it's coming from infinite intelligence. You write it all the way down, and then you can get back and go back and read it. You write it as fast as you can, as fast as you can. And then when you're done, when you're exhausted, you go back and you read it. And what you read will amaze you every single time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent. All right.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any last thing they would like to say? This is your last chance to talk up, to speak up. You have one chance. This is it. Until next week. All right. Well, we've had an amazing time with you. This has been an exhilarating experience. We've loved every second of it. We feel your questions allowing us to bring forth even more nuanced, more detailed, higher level ideas that had never been reached for before and explained in a way that has never been explained before. And not only are you helping each other out, but you're helping the consciousness of your planet. You're helping the unconsciousness of your planet. By being examples of alignment, by being willing to come here and to ask questions and to share yourselves and to be authentic, you allow others to vibrate or to be attracted to this information and even more general information. And all of this is working in harmony, working together so that every moment from here on out becomes more beautiful, more delicious, more sweet, more happy, more easy, more fun, and more exciting. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.